Welcome to Highway Christian Community's Sermon Download. Our aim is to reveal from Scripture just how good God really is. Find more of our sermons and other links, as well as contact details, at our website, www.highway.org.za. That's HIGHWAY.org.za. May this sermon bless you. Enjoy.
Sure, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the privilege of just ministering to you guys here in Durban. I think I preached here 2 years ago, but it's been a while. So it's great to be here. First time here with you guys. So it's always wonderful to see people that have this hunger and desire for God like you guys have. And I'm not saying it, just speaking to you guys, when I came in, I could just feel that there's the same spirit, the same heart. And so it's great for me to be here. And I believe this night, just look at yourself or look at the guy next to you and just look in his face and see that he will, just tell him this. You will never be the same. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. You will never be the same, right? So, I'm just gonna start here. When on an evening like this, I feel like I just wanna download everything that God has been saying in the past few years, but I can't do that. So I wanna give something specific to the church, the body of Christ. My heart would be to build you guys up, and I believe I have that word tonight, and I'm excited to share with you. But let's just pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your grace. Thank you for this awesome time that we're going to have in your presence. I pray that people will, like they just prophesied, never be the same. And that the glory and the grace of God will be felt in this place. I even pray now, Lord, that healings will take place. Signs and wonders, like the apostles prayed in Acts chapter 4. And they said, Lord, stretch forth your hand and perform signs, wonders, and miracles. Lord, I pray that tonight there will be signs, wonders, and miracles in this place. We pray for that, and we thank you for it. Give me the boldness to declare your word. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Okay, so if you have your Bible, we're going to start at Song of Solomon. Thank you, Jesus. All the romantic ones among you, it's time to just hear a bit about the love and just something that will really touch your heart. Song of Solomon, you can go to chapter 4, but I want to share this story. Just a few, I think it's a few months ago, in our service, I was sitting there and I thought about this scripture. And I can't remember, I looked for it and then I found it. And I was ready to get up and preach and just share this word with the people. And I got up. And the lady that was leading the worship, you know, these guys, they enjoy the glory of God so much. They're not very interested, like they're just busy with Jesus. They didn't see the pastor coming. So the pastor wants to get the attention, but it's good for me if they don't see me. They're so much into the worship, you know. So I'm ready to share this word. And as I'm getting up from my chair, I just got up, ready to share, and the lady that led the worship, she quoted this very verse that I was about to read. And I was shocked. I looked at her eyes closed in the glory of God. Here I am with the Bible. And I've never read that scripture in church. I've never read it in our church. I've never read it when I preached. I was just thinking of it for the first time. Here it comes. Now this is what God is saying to you guys today. Are you ready? Verse 7. Oh, my love. Oh, my love. How beautiful you are. There is no flaw in you. Can you hear this evening? My love. My love. That is Jesus speaking to his bride, the church. And it's a type of Christ and his bride. And he's speaking. He says, my love, how beautiful you are. There is no flaw in you. And imagine, I was ready to to read it and hear this lady, she just quoted that verse. And so it's truly God's heart for his people. For us, he spoke that word to us and we took it personally. That Jesus Christ himself said to us, my love, how beautiful you are. There is no flaw in you. Now, I want to just share a bit, maybe some of the things you know, but it's so important to hear these things. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Everything we hear should actually become real to us and actually manifest in our lives. We're not just preaching a truth that is a spiritual truth that is just hanging in the air. Jesus didn't die for you on the cross, for example. He didn't die for you so that you might know that by his wounds you are healed. He actually died for you to, if your eyes are blind, he died for you so that you can see. Do you get it? So he died for you. He died for you, not just to know about it, but to experience it. So all truth, the heart of God, is that everyone experience it and that it manifests in your life. And so that's why I'm sharing these things again. It's so important to hear. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5. I'm excited. Thank you, Jesus. You know, this, I live for this, to share these truths. And it's changing my life. You know, I need to hear this over and over. I can never get tired of this. 2 Corinthians 5. Let's go. You could have guessed it. If you heard me preach somewhere, you could have guessed where I'm going. 2 Corinthians 5. Let's just go. Verse 17 says the following. Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. But all things are from God, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to himself, and then he gave to us the ministry of reconciliation. It was God personally present in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world to favor with himself, not counting up and holding against men their trespasses, but canceling them. So we are Christ's ambassadors. Christ's ambassadors, God making his appeal as it were through us, we beg of you for his sake to lay hold of the divine favor now offered to you and be reconciled to God. For our sake he made Christ to be sin who knew no sin, so that in and through him we might become the righteousness of God. A lot of people that I minister to or speak to, Christians, most of the believers that I know that has not been established in this truth, and even us that have heard it, but not enough. So like we haven't heard this truth enough. Most people, they are trying to change themselves. They try to become better. They try to be better. And that's the emphasis of Christianity, wherever you go. It's like they literally think that God is not pleased and that we can please him by being better and working on ourselves. And so we made the emphasis to change or to try and be better. And yet, as a believer, we've been made the righteousness of God. Not through anything we did. He became sin for us who knew no sin, so that in him we might be the righteousness of God. As a Christian, you start off here 100% holy, 100% righteous, 100% blameless. Can I put another word? 100% forgiven, 100% justified, perfect in the sight of God. So that's your platform, that's where we start. But that's where I thought I should go and end. Like, it was always my goal to try and be better. I had to please this God that's not pleased. I had to perform. I had to work for this. And I tried, but I failed. But I realized that my whole emphasis, my whole focus was on trying to be better, not understanding that this platform that I got. Listen, you're not righteous. Do you realize? You are the righteousness of God. That means, as righteous as God is, so are you. You are His righteousness. 100% righteous. Let's look at it again in Hebrews 10. You know where I'm going. Hebrews 10, verse 10 and 14. Especially out of the Amplified. Especially out of the Amplified. You need to hear this. Hebrews 10, verse 10. And in accordance with this will of God, we have been made holy. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And in accordance, you know, thank you, Lord. I've been made holy. May my heart fully believe the truth. That's already true. Even though I don't believe it, I need to believe this. We have been made holy through the offering made once for all of the body of Jesus Christ. We have been made holy through the offering made once for all of the body of Jesus Christ. And if that is not enough, let's go to 14. By a single offering, He has forever completely cleansed and perfected. He has forever, let's look at those words, forever, completely cleansed, perfected, those who are consecrated and made holy. By a single offering, He made us holy. Forever, completely. He perfected us. So the aim of trying to be better is the biggest distraction in the Christian life today, because we've been given a platform of righteousness, holiness. In God's eyes, you are as perfect now as you'll ever be. Nothing you do will ever make Him love you more, because He loves you 100%. I don't even... The love of God, let's just... I'm not even talking about that. He's hard in the matter. I'm just talking about the legal part of it. The punishment for our sins that came upon Christ and that caused us to become the righteousness of God. So I'm standing on this platform that I got as a gift, that I had nothing to do with to get it. It's been given to me. I can now live my Christian life. And what is the Christian life then about? Knowing Christ. Can I just give it? Knowing the person, Jesus. So where I used to aim and trying to be better, I can now aim at knowing Him, the person. Most people have no time left to go into all the world and preach. They're too busy working on themselves. All time that you spend working on yourself, changing yourself, was a waste. Can I break the news? Every second you spend trying to perfect you was a waste. After what Christ did for us on the cross and the perfect sacrifice of Christ, every second that you spent working on yourself was a waste. But every second you spent on knowing Christ was extreme, wonderful gain. No waste. Not one second spent on knowing the person is a waste. Because if you come, He's alive, so He will reveal Himself to you, right? But you still come and say, I want to know You. And so it's a relationship. And that's the emphasis. That's what it's about. You have a platform from where you can now know Him. There's no separation between you and God. All condemnation He took away from you. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And that's not my message. That's just the introduction. Thank you, Jesus. Say this. I am. Say it. Righteous. I am. Holy. I am. Forgiven. I am. Justified. By His blood. That's awesome. Thank you, Jesus. And so now, what people now need to realize is, what is then the aim then? Because now I took this wrong focus away. What should we then focus on? Relationship. A relationship with a person that's really alive. Okay, so you can, and then you can even pursue that and go for it. Okay, so I will help you with that. Let's go to Hebrews 4. I'll help you with that. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I love Jesus. And I don't know Him perfectly. But what I know of Him is awesome and wonderful. It makes me want to scream and shout. The Jesus that I know, that's just a little drop of the ocean of who He really is. I think there's so much more to know of Him. I think His grace that I experience is like a drop. And there's still an ocean left open for me to dive in and experience. And so I'm excited for more, to experience more of this grace. Grace is not just a doctrine and a word. It's an experience. You can literally, it's not about how you know grace. It's about how much of that grace do you receive. Do you get it? It's not how you know it intellectually. It's how much do you experience of it. And so He wants you, not like measuring, but He wants you to experience it for your sake. You're perfect, right? In God's eyes. But you know He will change you, right? For your sake. That's important. He will not change you for His sake. He'll change you for your sake. But how will He change you? He'll cause you to realize. He just said it. He'll cause you to realize and see who you are because of what He did. And so His word will come. I'm running ahead of myself. Hebrews chapter 4. I can just, you know, when you invite me to come and minister like you guys did, and you open up this place, and I cannot be anything else but me. And so may God use me then to bless you guys here. And I'm excited because I know He does. But I can't be anything else. Like, I can't pretend. Like, I'm now, this is who I am. This is just take me as I am and just go for it and receive. Because I do have something to give. And I'm still looking for Hebrews. Hebrews 4. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. The rest. Let's just see. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 10. Verse 9. I normally start in 10, 9, 8, 7. Then I read the whole chapter. But let's go for 9. So then, there is still awaiting a full, complete Sabbath rest reserved for the true people of God. For he who has once entered God's rest also has ceased from the weariness and pain of human labor. Just as God rested from those labors, peculiarly His own, let us therefore be zealous and exert ourselves, strive to enter the rest. Let us strive, exert ourselves. This, I wondered about this. How do I, like, I've heard now I need to rest. And so I thought, okay, Hebrews 4, I need to rest. How can I rest? So I'm thinking, oh, maybe I was just thinking calm thoughts, you know. I need to rest. Breathe deeply, you know, like the world wants to rest, you know, through meditation. And so I thought, maybe if I meditate enough, I can rest. I need to enter God's rest. I never knew. Maybe you guys, you know it for a long time. But for me, this was complete new revelation. Because I thought I knew I should rest. But I didn't know how. How can I rest? How will I enter the rest of God? And so I knew it was important, because He wouldn't have said it if it's just for us to read and just never experience it. So it was important for me to rest. And I knew I was not resting. So I had this thing. Here's the rest. How do I enter? I need it. I realize this is the life that we can have as believers. Okay, so he says, we should be zealous, strive to enter the rest. Are you ready for verse 12? He tells you how. For the word that God speaks is alive and full of power. He gave the answer. I never saw that. He said in verse, he said here, the word of God is alive. The word he speaks is alive, active, and full of power. There's your clue. How you can enter the rest. Do you realize resting is nothing else than trusting, believing in Christ? No faith, no rest. No believing, no rest. No trusting Jesus, no rest. So it's literally just trusting in Him, believing in Him, that will cause you to rest. And so Romans 10 explains. See, the context there is, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings, right? Okay, sorry. So he said, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings. And so let's read in Romans 10. I just want to show you something. Do you realize there's a verse that says, he who trusts in Him will never be put to shame and disappointment. If you ever felt disappointment, God never disappointed you. And so he's helping you to see Him for who He really is. The one who trusts in Him, you need to know that he's 100% with God. He's 100% trustworthy. So I've never ever been disappointed by Him. So Romans 10, let's just see it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Romans 10. Okay, I'll just go with this. Verse 11. The scripture says, no man who believes in Him will ever be put to shame or be disappointed. Then he says, there's no distinction between the Jew and the Greek. All have the same Lord. He's the Lord over all of us. He generously bestows His riches, which is very awesome to know. It's amazing. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But how are people to call upon whom they have not believed in? Then it continues, how are they to believe in Him of whom they have never heard? How are they to hear without a preacher? How can men preach unless they are sent? It is written, how beautiful are the feet of those that bring, who bring glad tidings. Oh, glad tidings, right? So, verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and what is heard comes by the preaching of the message that came from the lips of Christ the Messiah Himself. Faith comes by hearing, and what is heard comes by the preaching. And it says in the Amplified, it says that the message coming from the lips of Christ the Messiah Himself. Hebrews 4 says that the Word of God, the Word that He speaks, are alive, active, and full of power. And so it's connected to the rest. Just simple like this. Faith comes by hearing. So rest comes by hearing. So we must strive to hear the gospel. Do you get it? So you're striving where it used to be, try and change yourself. You should literally just, you shouldn't say grace and do nothing. You should strive. But a different striving. You should strive to rest. How? Strive to hear. So true grace is not doing nothing. True grace is striving now not to change yourself anymore, but to hear the words of Christ. Which will tell you, it is finished, it is done. The gospel, Christ, what He did. So hearing things like, I've been made the righteousness of God, is not to acquire knowledge because you know it. You should hear it until you rest. I am. And you believe. James chapter 5 explains it as well. The prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. Amplify. Makes tremendous power available. So if you understand how righteous you've been made, when you pray, there will be power released. And so the level of your, not understanding, but believing the righteousness that you have and receive from Christ is equal to the level of power that's released when you pray. So the more you established in the truth of knowing I've been made the righteous, not knowing, but fully believing it, which will cause you to rest. What happens when you rest? You rest as God rested from His works because it is finished. And now everything that Christ did on the cross becomes your reality. You have an inheritance that Christ died to give to you, right? And so He did it all. Jesus did it all. How many of you can say with me, Jesus did it all? There's nothing else to do. He did it all. Then He gave us the Spirit, His Spirit, to help us receive all the things, not only what He said, but the manifestation of it, so that you can have the things that He died to give to you. Christ is the heir of all things, according to Hebrews 1 and 2. I'm not going to go there. Hebrews 1 and 2. Christ is the heir of all things. And you are a joint heir with Christ. So the Holy Spirit is now given to help you receive your inheritance. What is your inheritance? We're a joint heir. You can just as well say, what did Christ inherit? All things. So there's nothing that you'll ever pray for that has not been given as part of your inheritance. If it's a good thing, it's part of your inheritance. Because Christ is the heir of all things and you're a joint heir with Christ. Okay, so understand that's about receiving the inheritance. It's not just knowing, but experiencing it and receiving it. Thank you, Jesus. So now, let me just go back to my point. It says that you must strive to enter the rest. And you cannot strive to believe. I've seen it as I minister to the sick. The more you try to believe, do you realize trying to believe and believe is opposite? In the charismatic or the church that we know today, not, I don't want to say charismatic, basically in church that I grew up with, all types of churches, different denominations. Because I actually came from traditional church background, NG Kerk. That's where I come from, right? So, but we, where was I? Bob was like, striving to believe, right? So, we learned that we should actually just strive to believe. But we should strive to rest. We shouldn't strive. We shouldn't. Trying to believe is the opposite of believing. Yes, opposites. They're not closely linked like we thought. Like we go from trying to believe and then just try hard enough and then step into belief. Like, and the more we try and believe, the less we believe. So any effort on trying to believe is not your portion. It's not give, it's not. You should strive to hear. Faith comes by hearing. And true faith brings results. Causes you to inherit. Causes you to receive the things that He already gave through the cross. Faith brings results. The other day someone said, I heard you pray for the sick, but sometimes you like, You pray wrongly. The guy said to me, I said, okay, let's hear this out. All right. He said, I heard you ask for God to heal. You shouldn't ask, you should speak. And I said, yes, I'm with you there. Because he said we can speak unto this mountain, right? But if the blind eye see, it works. So if the result is there, listen, then you can't complain about the method. It's not in the method. The whole point is it's not in the method. Believing equals receiving. And so sometimes coming out of traditional church background, I pray a certain way, especially to the people that come from that church. And the cancer goes. And I ask very politely, Father, will you take away the cancer? And then the cancer goes. Faith is, true faith brings God's results. True faith, believing. I know this is so, it's almost so, so uncomplicated. It's just too uncomplicated for us. Too simple. But it's believing is receiving. The moment you believe something is the moment you receive it. The moment you believe it is the moment you receive it. And so you pray sometimes out of faith, or you speak a word out of faith, but the moment you believe it is the moment you receive it. There's nothing else to it. But your faith, you can do also nothing about. And that's what I've learned, that I cannot try and work up a faith. I cannot try and get this faith for this sick person to be healed. The only thing I can do, I can labor to enter the rest. How do I do that? Whenever Jesus speaks, like Mary, she chose the best part. She sat at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus said, she chose the best part, hearing his words. Let's go back to Song of Solomon. Thank you, Jesus. Let me just see, where am I? Okay, so still time. Thank you, Jesus. No, we're not in a hurry. I'm just checking myself, you know, just making sure where I am. I have to do that. Otherwise, you're going to sit here. I'll continue till 4 o'clock next morning. I really will not get tired. I'm resting. I'm resting. I just realized I'm resting. That's why I don't get tired with this. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to Song of Solomon. Thank you, Jesus. Song of Solomon, verse 2, verse 3. Like an apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved shepherd, my beloved shepherd. This is now the bride speaking. Among the sons, under his shadow I delighted to sit, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. You see this? He brought me to his banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Like an apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved shepherd. Under his shadow, I love to sit. And his fruit is sweet for my taste. He brought me to his banqueting house. Now, I don't know, but a banqueting house, what do you do there? You eat. You feast. A banqueting house. He brought me to his banqueting house. To a place of feasting. To a place of eating. And his banner over me is love. Now, let's quickly go to John chapter 6. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, I just took away the last bit of focus of improving yourselves. Do you realize what I'm saying? Please don't improve yourselves anymore. Put the attention on Jesus. And knowing him, and the main way of knowing him is hearing his words. Sit at his feet when he speaks. You should labor to rest. so I can put my energy, get in my car, when there's a message going forth, speaking the words of Christ, I should be here. When I'm at home, because church is not every day, well, sometimes with us it is, but then I should make every effort to hear. It can be through the word that I read. But I want to say, if you read the word, I always tell the people at our church, when I preach, I already have, you just mentioned it, the right mirror. I already have the right mirror. So I'm bringing the image of Christ. And I'm not telling people what they're not and what they should be. I'm telling them who they are. And so I'm holding up the right mirror. Many people read out of the same Bible and looking into the wrong mirror. And so Bible reading alone will not do it unless you look in the right mirror and seeing the face of Jesus and seeing yourself perfect as He sees you perfect. And so hearing that and seeing that is what you need. But when I preach, I'm already holding up the right mirror because I'm preaching Christ and I'm preaching Him, and you are in Him. You've been made a new creation. And so you start to hear those truths. And you become who you already are. That's the change. You're not becoming something different. You just realize who you are. You had an identity crisis, right? And someone comes and just helps you. This is who you are. That's the truth. That's how it works. Thank you, Jesus. Where are we going now? John 6. Thank you, thank you. What will we do without pastors in this place? Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, I'm like this, you know. So, John chapter 6. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, let's just see this. Verse 27, Jesus said, these guys followed Him. They just saw this miracle. The bread was just multiplied. They saw that miracle, and they followed. And they came to Jesus. And He said, you're not following Me because you saw the miracle. You're following Me because you got filled with the bread. You're not hungry anymore, so you followed Me for more food. That's what He said. You should have followed Me because you saw that miracle. For those people that are not for miracles. Jesus actually said to them, follow Me because of the miracle. So that's what He said to them there. Let's just look at it. He said, Jesus answered them, I assure you most solemnly, you have been searching for Me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you were fed with the loaves. Verse 27. Stop toiling and doing and producing for the food that perishes or decomposes. But strive. Work. Sometimes we're afraid of the word strive and work when it comes to grace, right? Listen, you should strive and work just in the right direction. Strive to hear. It's either that or you should strive and try and change yourself, and that's like a hopeless case though. There's no hope for you then. You cannot change yourself. Have you discovered that? So now strive to hear. Grace is hearing. Galatians 3. Did you receive the Spirit as a result of obeying the law? Or was it by hearing? That's the choice. The choice is not working and doing nothing. The choice is working or hearing. So not working, but through hearing. That's the grace way. Are you with me? Okay. I'm helping you here. John chapter 6. Stop toiling and doing and producing for the food that perishes, but strive, work for the food which endures unto life eternal. The Son of Man will give you that. For God the Father has... so you should strive for it, but the Son of Man will give it. Thank you, Jesus. God the Father has authorized, certified Him, put His seal of endorsement upon Him. Then they said, what are we to do that we may be working the works of God? Jesus replied, this is the work that God asks of you. Believe in the one that He has sent. Then it continues. I think 3 to 4 times he says, verse 35, Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never be hungry. He who believes in me will never thirst anymore. Then it continues. I am the bread of life. Verse 48. Let's see again. Verse 49. Your forefathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. But this is the bread that comes down from heaven so that anyone may eat of it and never die. I myself am this living bread. And he continues. And then in verse 63 he says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh conveys no benefit. The words that I've been speaking to you are spirit and life. Okay, so just quickly, the fruit of our beloved is like the apple tree among the trees of the wood. It's like his fruit is sweet for our taste. Right? And so Jesus, and every word he speaks, Jesus Christ himself is the bread of life. And then every word proceeding from his mouth. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of his mouth. So man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of his mouth. And Jesus said, the words that I've been speaking to you, they are spirit, they are life. And so he said, stop toiling and working for the food that perish, but I have food for you that brings life eternal. Your forefathers ate the manna and they died. But this bread is the bread that comes down from heaven. So that whoever eats of this bread will not die. And so he continues. He said, you should eat of this bread. You should eat of this bread. So what is he saying? If he continues, you see, eat my flesh and drink my blood. So it's also speaking about taking part in the communion, right? But the words of Jesus is the fruit of his lips. And so how do you eat from the tree of life, from Jesus Christ? You eat the fruit. You hear his words. Just hold your ear like this. Say, this is the way I eat. This is my spiritual mouth. Not to speak, but to eat. So I feast with this. So by hearing, it all comes to us. By hearing, faith comes. By faith, everything comes. So I pray for people, right? We see many results. We see so many people getting healed. Say I pray for someone that they don't get healed. What do? I go back eating. What else can I do? I go and eat, and then I pray again. Until they are healed. Because there's no end to this thing. Jesus Christ said, by his wounds, or he didn't say it, but he did say it. But in Isaiah 53, it says that by his wounds, we are healed. So they are healed. So I need to pray for them until they are. There's no end to that. The moment you start to think, I wonder if this case is not a different case. They all have been healed through the cross. We are called to lay hands on them. Do you notice Jesus never said what to tell people when it doesn't work? He never wrote it. Huh? I've never seen in the Bible what to tell people if it doesn't work. He never explained that. For the simple reason, it will work. He said, if you say unto this mountain, be removed, it will. You see, all those things of faith, it's amazing. Just realize you can't work up faith. You can't bring forth faith. You can't try and believe and call it faith. Faith comes by hearing. And simple faith is like this. Thank you, Jesus. When you like this, that's not faith. I don't know how to put it. It's like you go and draw money from the ATM. You know there's money. It only works when there's money, right? So the example only works when there's money in the bank. So you put in the card and you just pushing the buttons, take the money, and you're gone. That's faith. You didn't try and believe, today, this machine will give me money. Today, some of you do it, and you can do that. Why not? You can also work for money, and you can also do a decent job, but I believe in miracles, right? So, I've seen that happen as well. So, even with myself. Can I tell you a story, huh? Yo. I probably won't end the message now, but this story is very important as well. I was sitting in a conference. Now, listen, we are blessed. We have always more than enough. So my testimony is surely mostly about God's goodness. But that specific month, there was a few extra things that we had to pay, right? So I had my last money with me in that conference. And I said, well, this is not going to do it anyway. So I took the money and I threw it when they took the offering. So I said, now I had a friend that came and preached at our church. His name is William, Prophet William Unni. Now he's sitting next to me. Now I'm looking at him and thinking, the diesel in my vehicle is gone, right? So how are we going to get home? Firstly, we need to give him food, right? Then also there's nothing. We can't get home. So there I am in the church thinking, oh, well, what can we do now? So I drove to the petrol station. And I was a bit tense, you know, thinking, oh, Here, help me. There I was. I tried to believe, but I was going. So I went to that machine, right? I said, Lord, I know. I'm just going to put my card in anyway. Because there's no other way. We're just going to do it. I put my card in. Someone paid in 17,000 rand into my account. More than enough for food, for diesel, for everything I needed. And I checked it before I went into church. Nothing. During the service, 17,000 rand that someone just blessed me with. Thank you, Jesus. So those things happen. I believe in that. So I was now I'm so far from this story. But let's just come back to it. Okay? Now, true faith. True faith is not trying to believe. It's just resting. Understanding God's goodness is faith. Realizing how good He is. That's why the more you hear about His goodness, the more you'll believe. The more you hear about what He did on the cross, the more you'll believe. Because that is equal, you know, the goodness of God was displayed through the cross and what He did. So faith comes by hearing about Jesus, His goodness, what He did. So I need to hear Him when He speaks. And so every moment He speaks, I need to be there. These guys followed Him because they got filled. But He said, I have something for you. I have food. Like Jesus also said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds. So the food, the bread of life, is the words of Christ. The ones that He speaks. If I can give you an idea, because many people say Jesus said this, or Jesus said that. How does He, if you hear His voice, how can you know it's Him? Mostly, when He speaks, He will tell you who you are. Who you are. He will not focus on your shortcomings and failures. He will tell you who you are because of what Christ did. He will tell you what's right with you because of what Christ did. You know, like Joseph Prince. He always says, we should come to church to hear what's right with us because of what Christ did for us. Not what's wrong with us because of us. And so the voice of Jesus will always be directed to who you already are in Christ. Always. It's a way you can recognize Him. When you think of yourself and you think of yourself and the failures and you think, you hear that voice. That is also a voice. is the voice of your conscience that has not completely been renewed by the truth of God's word. And so you accuse yourself. You judge yourself. According to 1 John 3, it says, if your heart condemns you, I love that part, God is greater. So pray anyway. Do you feel condemned? Yes, someone in a wheelchair. Thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity. And you just pray. If your heart condemns you, God is greater. If your heart condemns you not, you have confidence before God. And you receive from Him whatever you ask. 1 John 3. Then it says, if you obey His orders, but this is the command that you believe. That's the order. That's the command. Believe. But believe how? Faith comes by hearing. I mean, there's no other way. Guys, the rest is not faith. That is trying to believe. And trying to believe will never bring you to the point of faith. So please, if you pray for people that are sick, lay your hands on them. See what happens. If nothing happens, pray again. But with less effort. Try a bit less to heal them. I don't know how we are. We pray and then we think, maybe the second time I'm going to go. So you're going further and further away from a healing. You should pray, and if you have to go a second time, less effort. The third time, no effort. You'll see. Guys, I want to inspire you. This is so amazing. When you start to experience the faith that comes through hearing, you'll heal people effortlessly. We have seen people, children, coming with us on outreaches that prays for people that are blind, that saw blind eyes open. They are 9 years old. The whole of the church, there's some churches that never sees miracles. And not to point a finger, but to say, guys, there's something that God wants for all of us. And if a 9-year-old child can pray for a blind person, never prayed for people before, and the blind eye opens, what are you guys doing? Can I inspire you? Go lay your hands on the sick. You'll be amazed. There's no method. There's no way going about it. You should just go. The success comes when you go. It's a success when you go. The moment you arrive and you put your hand on a sick person, that was a success. Your part is done. I took it. This is how it happened with me. I read out of the word. In my traditional church background, we didn't really know about miracles. So I read Mark chapter 16. And I saw that there it says, I will lay my hands on the sick and they will get well. And I thought, Lord, I've never seen this. Really, I haven't. Does it still happen like that? Then I just realized this is God's word. And I said to Him, I will put my hands on sick people until this manifests. And so I just went and put my hand on sick people since I was 21 years old. I'm a bit older now. And I've seen, we have seen the most amazing things. We have seen total paralyzed people heal. We have seen people, just the other day, a lady came, she had an accident, and her hip was connected like in a wrong way, and the foot was hanging in the air, like this. Not because of a back, because of a broken hip that grew on wrongly. Like this. So we prayed and the leg came out straight and she stood upon that leg walking perfectly. She had to go for an operation. Just the other day, some of the guys that are with me on the outreaches, they pray for people. The one lady had no eyeballs and they prayed and that lady received sight. Some people born deaf. The one guy, 34 years, he's never heard in his life. Got healed in our office there in Potchefstroom. He was in total shock. We had to keep him for a few hours just to calm him down. He never heard in his life. That is Jesus. But that comes by resting. That comes by trusting in Jesus. And this, the world will see Christ. Christ is captured inside unbelieving believers. Don't feel bad about it. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. The way to let him go is not to feel condemned about it. The way to let him go is to realize I'm forgiven. Even for not, you know, seeing the truth. There's no condemnation. Absolutely nothing. But I'm saying he can be released through believing believers. And then faith will come by hearing. So when believers hear the truth, faith comes to them. When faith comes to them, God, Christ, inside of his body, reaches out and touches the world. This question that people have, for instance, why are there so many sick people in the hospital? What is God doing about it? Listen, he cannot do anything about it unless a believing believer go and lay his hands or speak a word or pray. That's the way he did it from the beginning. He's not... I'll just test this one. You choose the God you want, right? Okay, don't worry. You have the true God, Jesus Christ. But just for explanation. A God that can heal everyone, but he chooses not to? Or a God that wants to heal everyone, but he cannot. Which one is good? The last one. The one that wants to, but cannot. What I've said now is so powerful. That through us getting to know him, getting to see the truth about who he is. So what is God doing about the sick people? He's stirring up people like Stuart and people that are praying, you guys, that are doing the works of Christ. He's working, he's doing something. He's speaking to Marnus and says, have healing schools. Teach people to go and pray for the sick. That's what God is doing. And so through those people, he actually gets the opportunity to do what he always wanted to do. When I come to a sick person, Jesus is more excited because he's been waiting to heal this person. And he just needed a simple or uncomplicated believer that believes in him to do it. One that thinks, oh, you know, you can do it. I've prayed like that. The other day, there's a lady, she was blind, and she came to the front. And I said, now I asked, how's the sight? I was hoping to hear maybe percentage, you know, I can see 10% or, you know, to have something to work with in the natural mind, right? That's the way we think. So I thought, how's the eye? She said, totally blind. I said, can you see a little? Nothing. I'm like, okay, I've seen this before. just calm down. No, I'm saying, so this is the way I prayed. Did we bring that clips? But they probably will, don't worry. We'll see how things go. So I prayed, I said, why will we worry if God can open the eyes of the blind? In that scripture, in that clip, I said, why will we worry if God can open the eyes of the blind? But in fact, I was worried. I was thinking, I was worried. So I calmed myself down in the prayer. I said, why will I worry? So I just realized, I cannot do this. I put my hand and the eye opened. So faith is not in the shouting. Faith is not in the way you command or speak. Even though I do believe in speaking and commanding, speaking life. We have the privilege to do that. It's the body of Christ. We can tell the mountain to move. But so, like I said, sometimes I ask, Jesus, will you just heal this person? And then he does it. I pray with the knowledge of the finished work. And so I'm asking for what already belongs to me. Like my son will come and ask for a chocolate that I already bought in the shop. Like afterwards, "Daddy, can I have my chocolate?" Before it was, "Daddy, can I have a chocolate?" "Yes, my son." "Oh, okay." Then I paid. That moment, the chocolate belonged to him. Now he comes and says, "Daddy, can I have my chocolate?" So can you see, you can ask out of a revelation of the finished work of the cross. So you can ask. That's relationship. I pray. I ask. I ask, "Lord, heal this person." Or I say, "In the name of Jesus, be healed. I speak life into your body. Command the sickness to go. Be perfected by the grace of God." Both works. The main thing about praying for the sick is not thinking what you should say or not say. You can never be wrong. Okay. You will lay hands on the sick, they will get well, all right? Let's try that. Okay. Say this hand, right? "I will put my hand on the sick and they will get well." Amen. So now, let's try that. Put your hands in. That's it. You did it. That's what you needed to do. That's all. How difficult is it to put my hand on the poster? I can do this. It's like maybe the effort from year to year. Sure, that was. But mostly we think we have other things to do. Like, no. We should lay hands. They'll get well. The method. Yes, there's things that I can teach you that will help you. See the pain go. See the thing open. See the truth. Like I see people that cannot walk. I see them running. Or I see the deaf ears especially. If you have a hearing problem in this church, we're going to pray for you in a moment. So, I see the deaf ear. And I see it open. So I see something happen. Right? There's things I can tell you that will help. But mostly, you should just put your hand. So I just fall back. Whenever I'm in effort, nothing happens. So then I just put my hand again. "Amen. How are you?" "Oh, pain is gone." "What did you do?" "Well, nothing. I put my hand." Can you put your hand on the person next to you? Just put your hand. Okay, that's enough. Was it difficult? So you can heal the sick. Shout, "I'm qualified. I know how to put my hand." That is like that. Now, next person, you see that sick, you just put your hand. Okay, right. Now, I can go on forever. I'm just here for one night. I believe I brought something. Like I said, the story caused me not to finish my message, but be blessed anyway. I want to pray for the sick. That's why I'm stopping now. So I want to pray for people that need healing today. And so we're going to pray for a few people. I'm going to walk around, pray for a few people. Then I'll be here. We'll close the service, and I'll pray for everyone that needs prayer. Yeah, so I'm not in a hurry. Like the other day, we went to Australia. We preached there. And that one church, they had churches just, I think, 7 different churches, like different languages, coming into the same building. Like this church starts at 9, then it finishes. Everyone must go like this. So I just had a few minutes to preach. And I just prayed for one person. And they got healed. And I said, "All right, everyone, meet me outside. I'll be under the tree." And I prayed until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Prophesied, spoke words of knowledge. People got healed. I told that one man, I said, I see Wonderboom Airport. I see Pretoria. I see that. He says, "Oh, I come from Wonderboom. I stayed there when I was a child." And so it blessed him so much. Thank you, Jesus. I said the hearing problems, right? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. So, partially deaf, completely deaf. Come to the front. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus! Are you excited? Yeah. And you guys, you realize this. you don't have to do anything. I'm just going to open your ears in Jesus' name. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to try and believe. Don't worry about anything. Remember, the prophet said to that woman that took care of them. Remember, the prophet Elisha said. He said, "What can we do for this woman? She's been taking care of us." And they came, and she said, "No, there's nothing I want. I dwell among my own people. Can we speak to you before the king?" She said, "I dwell among my own people." Then the servant said, "This lady have no children." And the prophet thought, "That's old covenant prophets. How much more after the death of Christ on the cross, and you in Christ? That's old covenant. The least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist, and John was the greatest prophet." So this prophet in the old covenant said, by this time next year — and I'm not prophesying, don't worry, you won't get pregnant — by this time next year you're going to have a child. The lady's response was, "Don't lie to me, man of God." What faith did she had? She said, "Don't lie to me, man of God." She had no faith. So it's not depending on the person that we pray for. Can I just say that? You are here, we're going to go for it, we're going to test your hearing, I believe great things will happen. But it's not depending on you. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. He didn't believe. Lazarus didn't add his faith. He couldn't. He was dead. That's a good one. You got it. Do you realize Lazarus was dead? I think Lazarus was just in the grave. "I'll be healed by the stripes. I will walk today out of this grave. I'm going to be well." No, like some think we should believe. I'm gonna walk out of this. I'm gonna be raised from the dead. No, Lazarus was dead. Jesus spoke. The prophet said, "You're gonna have a child." The lady said, "No, don't lie to me." So relax. Right, let's start somewhere, because there's quite a few here. How's the hearing? Tell me percentage or completely. If it's completely, you know I'm not scared of that. Buzz. You don't hear, but it's like a buzz, and it's okay. Let's quickly just hear. 50% loss. Bit hard hearing. Hard of hearing. Deaf. That ear. Completely. Let's test it. Can we test it? Yeah. That's okay. They realize that the hearing is really not good. But Jesus is wonderful. He's great. Don't worry. Now I'm going to pray for you, right? Let me just test it first. Is there someone that can help me? I think you should. Sorry. Don't worry. We normally just video everything. No pressure. We'll ask you if we can use the footage and stuff. Okay. I'm going to test the hearing first. Is it both ears or just the one? Okay. So you haven't heard anything like that, what I said as I was walking back. You haven't heard. No, as I was speaking. This is good. Don't worry. Jesus is wonderful. Lord, thank you for your grace. Thank you for the hearing that will be restored in this man's ears. And thank you, Lord, for your power and your grace. Let the hearing be restored in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the hearing that will be restored in his ears by the grace of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. perfect hearing in these ears. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes. 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 Thank the Lord. Yeah. Sorry?
You can feel the difference.
Yes.
You felt it like something open and you can hear more clear.
Mm-hmm.
That is a miracle. I embrace this, but let's pray one more time. Let it be perfected by the grace of God. Jesus is awesome, man. Yeah. I love him. I just love him. Thank you, Jesus. The one that opens the deaf ear. Thank you, Jesus. How's it now? Fine. Is it clear?
Yeah.
Clear?
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. That's good. Yeah. That's good. I just wanted to pray one more time. That was just... But now it's much better than...
Much better.
Much better.
Much better, yeah. Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. Go back with thank perfect hearing.
Yeah, thank the Lord.
Thank the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen. This is awesome, guys. These things really excite me. And I think we should pause and think what just happened. You saw me standing here, he heard nothing. You saw me walking there, he heard. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Okay, so hearing loss, yes? Buzzing in the ear. Okay? You don't know how. So you haven't tested it. You know you need some improvement in the hearing. Healing. 70% loss. Can we test it? So close the good one. I know this is not the perfect test, right? They test different stones and stuff when you go. So after you've been prayed for, you can go for those tests. You'll see, they'll like, what? I can hear this sound. I can hear this sound. But this is just the way I can test it. This is the way I can test it. So let's try the okay, this is the one that's the worst, 60% loss. Let's just try it.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. I can just hear you. Just, faintly. No. It's gone. Yeah. No, I can't hear. No. Maybe it's not 60%, maybe it's only 50%, because I could hear you quite
but
far.
The point is, you're going to know. Yeah. This is just my testing.
Okay.
Thank you, Lord. Let the hearing be perfected in the name of Jesus. Let the hearing be perfected in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let the hearing be perfected. Thank you, Jesus. Do you know Andre? Who's Andre?
Andre. Yeah. Yeah.
Andre Swart? What is he of? What's
your name? Just a friend, yeah. Friend, yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you for your grace. Let the hearing be restored. 100%. Thank you, Jesus. Let the hearing be restored. 100%. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let the hearing be restored. 100%. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's try it.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Still can hear you. Can still hear you. Still, yeah. Still. Wow, you nearly left the building. I can hear you. I can.
I saw like, okay, you guys are from Durban, right? Most of the people here. But I see this place. I see Lady Smith. Then I see also that where's Newcastle? Freyheit, Lady Smith, Newcastle. Where do you come from? Where do you come from? Like, where were you born? Okay. Parais. Like close. Yeah. Can you believe it? But what is it about Lady Smith? Freyheit. Newcastle, what is it about Newcastle? Just if family that stayed there. Thank you. And you were there. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for restoring his hearing. Lord, I just speak a word. I just speak a word of like freedom over you in the name of Jesus. Freedom over you, Freyheit, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Experience the freedom of Christ. Know him. Experience his love for yourself. He's not holding anything. Not the slightest thing. You are perfect in his eyes. You are his beloved. There is no flaw in you. Amen. 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 Bless you. Dis 'n groot plesier, man. Plaas het jy by ons in Potchefstroom kuier. Ja, you must. Yes? Okay, if you want to sit, those who are healed can go and sit, or I'll pray afterwards for anyone. It's getting low. So this one has been there for how long? For how long? Since you were how old? Since you were 7 years old. And now you're 78 years young. 78 years young. That's 71 years that it's been like that. But Jesus. But Jesus. Huh? He died 2,000 years ago. Like, okay, so let's pray and see what happens. I like to go for this one first. And then pray for the other ears as well to be perfected. Everyone I prayed for, if I didn't pray for the other ear, be perfected. Be perfected. Thank you, Jesus. So, where's the dead donkey?
This one.
Is that the one?
This is the one I can't hear.
For many years. I'm going for this one.
That's right.
Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray, let this ear open in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that his hearing will be restored in this ear after so many years. I thank you for your grace, that it will just happen in this day, in our midst, that this ear will hear by the grace of Jesus. I speak life and healing over your body. Hear in the name of Jesus. Deaf ear, open in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let the hearing be restored. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let the hearing be restored. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah.
Yes, I can.
Okay, close. Can you hear?
Yes, I can. Yes, I can. Yes. 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 Just a little. No. Yes, yes.
What happened? Did something happen? For real? When I'm far. But now, honestly, you can hear. As I'm speaking and you close this one good, you can hear me. This is awesome! Jesus! Jesus! 71 years. 71 years that you couldn't hear through that ear. I haven't tested it before, but you really, this ear was like, you wanted me to pray only for the other one. You actually came for the one. But he was mentioning this one, right? No, let's pray for both. Sorry, I follow instructions. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let these ears hear by the grace of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let the ears hear perfectly. Lord, I pray that his whole life will be transformed by this miracle. Thank you, Jesus. May spiritual ears hear even better. In the name of Jesus, may you hear the voice of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. What am I doing?
Hey.
Can you move?
Ja, kan jy hoor?
Ja.
Try almost
with
cake. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Ja, kan. Yes, I can. Yes, I can. Yes. 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 Yes.
You his wife. You'll know. No excuses. No excuses anymore. He's gonna hear you speak and you have to respond. Okay. Yes? Hearing loss? What? Okay. Okay, and you? Sing. Lack of hearing, that ear, that one. Frequencies, okay. You all have seen what God did, right? So what I'm going to do, I'm going to pray for you. And you'll test it the way, like with the frequencies maybe. See and rejoice and say thank you when the miracle took place. It's all about Jesus. I'm just going to pray for each one of you. The same grace that opened at 71 year deaf ear. Oh my God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just going to touch your ears. Lord, I pray, let our hearing be perfected. Perfected by the grace of God. Hear perfectly through these ears, from this day. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Perfection in this ear. Hearing in the name of Jesus. Let the ears hear in Jesus' name. Ask this lady, what happened?
Oh, it's gone! Oh, my word! My ears are so open!
This is awesome! It's real, eh? have things to tell the people at work tomorrow. I saw Jesus opening the ears.
Oh, the anointing is so strong.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Perfection in these ears. Thank you, Jesus. Let the hearing be restored. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And Jesus specializes in healing people. No matter what they believe. No matter what they think of Him. The greatest miracles we see sometimes is amongst unbelievers. Different faiths of other people. It's because they... It's just easy because they don't try. Some people we prayed for said, pray for me. It won't work, but pray for me. It will not work. And did they get you? Jesus. Others, while they're busy eating in the hospital, they eat. I said, can I pray for you? Yes, you can. They continue eating. Thank you, Jesus. Let the ears open. And I pray for your husband as well. Let the hearing be restored. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let the hearing be restored. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Of both of them. In the name of Jesus. Perfect hearing. Okay. Do you have children, right? Okay. So the name... Okay. Maybe it's to do with the children or not. But I hear a name starting with an R. R. Runel or someone like that. I know it's Runel is Afrikaans. Runel. Royden. Okay, that's okay. Thank you, Jesus. This name, Runel. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Liza, how many children do you have? Three children. Three grandchildren. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Let the hearing be restored, and I bless that family, Lord. May all of them know you intimately, Lord. That whole family come to Jesus, see the light, the glory of the risen Christ. Like you showed yourself to me, Lord, show yourself to that family. Reveal yourself in glory to them. Thank you, Jesus. I believe, just as we believe for the deaf ear, I believe for this, that this whole family will come to Christ, in Jesus' name. Amen. What a blessing. Richard, name starting with an R. Thank you, Jesus. You see, this is how it works. It's not, you'll see. Maybe God will show more. Amen. Amen. This is awesome, guys. And you are healed. You can go home. You are healed. You are well. Go home well. Yeah? Your ears started popping open while I was praying. And you felt it. And you could hear that. While I was praying and testing the others, she felt her ear opening. And she heard from the back, go home well. Thank you, Jesus. This is awesome, guys. Now, last but not least, give me your hand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I pray for this lady. Thank you, Jesus. What is your name? Claire. Lord, I pray for Claire. I just know that this message of tonight, Lord, that she will experience the feasting on the words of Christ's body. That she will start to feast on the words of Jesus like never before. I see a hunger for Him that will be so great, and it will I'm telling you, in that hunger, you start to hear the words of Jesus. Everything is in His words. And you'll find yourself, the true you. You'll see yourself as He sees you. Today I want to say, if you can see yourself as He sees you, your life will be totally changed. And so I pray that He will reveal to you how He sees you today. Thank you, Jesus. I pray for restoration. I speak restoration over your life. And I thank you, Lord, that whatever she felt like, this has not been, it's been, it feels like it's been taken away. I pray for restoration in your life in the name of Jesus. A word of restoration that's greater. The need of this word is greater than any, even the hearing feels like small thing compared to this restoration that God will give. And I pray for ears to hear in Jesus' name. Are you here? Perfect. So, where is our pastor, my friend? Thank you for receiving us. I'll be here now praying for people that need prayer. I said.
What an awesome time, eh, guys? So, yeah, let's just bless Manus. Thank you so much. Manus is going to be here with his team, so please come forward and come and get some prayer. If you need to go, you're welcome to go. If you want to give our car guard something on the way out, thank you. Bless you guys. And we'll see you on Sunday morning. And don't forget, tomorrow night is in the Bluff, eh, Stu? Where are you, Stu? Have you gone? Tomorrow night, Bluff. IHOP. IHOP. Big Tent. Bel Air. And then again on Sunday night. Saturday, same place.
Big Florida Road. Saturday, full day, Olive Tree. We're going to be teaching, training, equipping to walk out the normal Christian life. You can invite anybody you want. We are going to see what happened here tonight on a scale that's just going to get completely out of control. So invite as many people as you can. It's a full day up until 3 o'clock on the Saturday, Sunday evening at Northway Church.
Wonderful. Bless you guys. Have a great week. God bless, eh?